In a world totally focused on the individual, God calls us to live in radical community, where many come together as one. So, instead of moving through life, struggling through on our own, we're invited to be part of a family. A family that loves one another, forgives one another, and always fights for one another. A community of faith that reaches out to serve those around them, but always comes back together in pursuit of true and lasting unity. A family that journeys together with a common purpose, creating friendships that multiply endlessly, so that in Jesus we remain committed and connected to one another, in beautiful harmony with one another, loving and living for one another.
We have known from a while back that Metro is not a building, amen? Amen. Metro is not a venue, amen? Amen. Metro is not a set of circumstances on a particular time at a particular place with particular equipment, amen? Amen. We are Metro, and we are a family of faith. And that's why, as Sam said, it's so important that this series that we're doing over the next 4 weeks, it comes at a really great time, because this is a series about one another. Everyone say, one another. There are 50... Are you mocking me, Matthew Miles? I said, say it. Don't do the hand gestures. Okay, everyone say it and do the hand gestures. One another. There are 59 one another sayings in Scripture. If you're new to faith, if you're watching online, if you're not sure about things, you need to know that Christianity isn't a matter of a particular set of beliefs, although we have a particular set of beliefs. And it isn't about people trying to be holier than thou, super religious. It's about one anothering. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place where we one another, one another. Now, there are 59 one anothers in Scripture. Put your hand up if you've ever heard anyone use that stat before. 59 one anothers in Scriptures. Who's heard that one? Some of you. Okay, a couple at the back, Ben Tomlinson, my lovely lady wife. Not Ben Tomlinson, there's two different people. Two different people! Moving on, just to clear up that confusion. 59 one anothers, but of course that's a little bit, that's not really a thing. That's cheating, because about one in four of those 59 one anothers are love one another. They repeat, and we're going to look at the key ones. And if you have ever heard someone say, there's 59 one anothers, and thought to yourself, wow, I've got to do a lot of stuff for a lot of people. Actually, it's really, really simple. We're going to look at forgiving one another. We're going to look at confessing our sins to one another. We're going to look at submitting to one another. We're going to look at how that plays out in different dynamics. But if you thought that, you know, how do I fit all these things into my life? You just need to know that essentially there is only one another, and that is love one another, the original one another. And that comes from Jesus. When Jesus speaks to his disciples, it is the final Last Supper, where he has washed their feet, and then he turns to them and he says this: a new command I give you, love one another. In fact, let's do this as a reading. So every time you see something in yellow, you read it out, shout it out together. A new command I give you, as I have loved you, so you must
love one another.
By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you
love one another.
Let's do it a little bit more. I feel like, you know, let's go for it. I want to hear this again, and I want to hear you putting a little bit of pizzazz into it. So, a new command I give you,
love one another.
As I have loved you, so you must
love one another.
By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you
love.
Turn to the person next to you and say in a quiet voice, it's a great passage. It's so important that when Jesus introduces the idea of love one another, he says it not once, not twice, but three times. And we're going to go through this because what we're going to do is we're going to unpack what it means to love one another. He says, this is what I'm commanding you, love one another. Not believe the same thing as one another, not have the same opinion, the same background, the same wants, desires, needs, preferences as one another. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. And we're going to go through, because you have to be really practical. You have to figure out exactly what does that mean. What are we going to do? How is that going to manifest in our lives? And when Jesus says love one another, he starts it off in this really, really confusing way. And I don't know if you've read this passage before, if you've heard people speak about it, and you've seen the kind of the logical twist, the thing that makes it awkward and difficult and wrong, the thing that really doesn't make sense. If you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe you'll trip over this and not see it. But if you're new to faith, if you're on the outside of faith, the first thing that Jesus says does not really make sense at all. He says this: a new command I give you, love. And instantly, if you're paying attention, you should focus on that word command. Because how can anybody command you to love? How can you be commanded to love? It's like when your mum says when you're at school, you've got to be friends with the weird guy that no one likes. And that you, Sam's putting his hands up. Is that because you're the weird guy? Everyone turn to Sam. That's cruel and uncalled for. But how many of you put your hands up, had that experience where you had to be kind or be friendly or be nice to the weird one? And you'd protest. You protest. You know, the parents get together and they say, look, this person, they're not being included. You be their friend. And you say, but my mother, you cannot make me someone's friend. Friendship comes from the heart. And when Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another, you have every right to say, Jesus, my Lord, I believe in you, I trust in you, I look to you, but you cannot command me to love. Have you not seen Aladdin? In Aladdin, when the genie comes out of the bottle, he says, you can have three wishes, but I cannot make someone love you. You hear that? You can't force love from another person. You can't coerce love from another person. You can't command love from another person. So why does Jesus say, I'm commanding you to love? I'm commanding you to love. It's because there is a whole new way of understanding what this is all about. He says, it's a new command. Everyone say new. Quick tutorial. Two words for new in the Bible. One is neos, one is kainos. Neos, like neo, like neoclassical. It means new in terms of time. So it's the most recent thing. Kainos means new in terms of substance, in terms of quality. It's a brand new thing. It's an unbefore seen thing. It's new. It's a bit like back in the day when I had my first smartphone. I got a smartphone. It was a Nokia. It was a flip phone. It was one of those ones from the Matrix, the original, OG Matrix, where you click a button and the thing would come out and it was a smartphone, but that meant that you could make calls on it and you could play Snake on the phone. That was about it. It was really as smart as a brick. In fact, nowadays we call them a brick phone. And then when that thing got a little bit out of date, I got a new phone, a Neos phone. It was a Sony Ericsson. And it could do a couple things, maybe a little bit better, but essentially it was the same thing. It just made calls and it was mobile. It was a mobile phone. And I thought it was the best thing since sliced cheese. But you had these different phones and they would be new phones. But then in 2007, a new phone came out and that phone was called the iPhone. And the iPhone was not just a new phone, but it was a new phone. Kainos, brand new kind of phone, does things a phone never did before, enables you to waste away your life on the internet, enables you to harass people and send pictures of questionable things to questionable people that you don't know and to bully and all those things that the wonderful iPhone has brought into our lives. But it wasn't just a new in terms of time. It's brand new whole redefinition of what phone means. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm giving you a new command, love. In other words, I am commanding you to love in a brand new way. There's nothing new about the command to love. That's a command that is as old as the hills. It's literally the oldest command in the book. Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus says, brand new, a kainos, a whole different way of doing love. This is a brand new, whole, ground up, rebuilt love. And I'm commanding you to do this new kind of love. When we talk about loving one another, we really, really have to define our terms. We really have to figure out what kind of love are we talking about? What kind of love, and what does that look like? Because Jesus says, saying, I'm going to give you a new love, a love that is unparalleled, unprecedented, never before seen. A love that has to be rethought, reimagined, and that is wrapped in what has gone before. And in the kind of the Greek world, there were four major words for love, and they all had a different kind of flavor. We just have the one word, love. I love ice cream. I love my children. It's all one word. But in Greek, you define it in different ways. And so the first word for love is the word storge. Everyone say storge. Familial. That you have for your family. Went into labor with our third child, 24 years. It was this hectic experience. Actually, it was quite grim, and I'm not going to tell you all the details. I'm even going to tell Kate all the details, because I saw stuff, and it was a thing. But at the end of 36 hours, ladies and gentlemen, give applause. Came my daughter Zoe, and she came out, and as soon as she Will knows what I'm talking about. He knows what I'm talking about. This, we share a bond. And suddenly I had an experience like I've never all of my days. I felt this flood, this over wave of emotion just coming out of me. They gave Zoe to Kate. She'd been through a lot. She was like, I'm not now. This is not a good time. He's fired. Give her to her father. And I'm given this little thing in my arms. And I'm not even qualified or anything, but I'm holding her. She looks at me. And as she looks, these two eyes boring deep into my soul. And she cannot speak. She cannot vocalize. But the telepathic thing going on. She's looking at me and you will care for me. I will. You will give everything for me. I'll give everything for you. Throw yourself in front of a bus without a moment's hesitation. I need you to. I will throw myself in front of a bus without a moment's hesitation. And it was, I can't explain it. You don't get points for it. You don't get prizes for it. It's a natural thing that happens. It's a family bond with your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your kids, your grandparents. It's naturally. You can't command storge, but it happens. It's a wonderful, miraculous thing. But Jesus is saying, it's what I'm talking about. Next kind of love is filio. Now, filio is friend. Philip, it means friend of horse. Supposed to be, I've found them nothing but scary every day of my life. Love, friendship love, friend love is love that you have when you've got people in common. We do the same thing. We're on the same football team. We are the boys, the lads, my men, or we're the girls. We're ladies. I've got all my girls. Man, I love you, because we do stuff together. We common. We've got a bond. You get filial love with your football team. You get love with your university flatmate. You get filial love with a sports team or with the people that you're in hall with or the people that you work with. That project together, we went through 7 hells and we stuck together. I love you. It's the friends' love. You know the song, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. For you because you've there for me too. So, for their life stage. I'm there for you because you're there for me. It's very cool. We're together. We do together. Philly love. Third one. Eros. What this one is? Romantic love. The love that I had for Kate when I saw time a 23-year-old. Or degrading or whatever. I've been introduced to her and she's beautiful, but it's appropriate. Then we went to a party and she had this cute bob, this incredible jacket, and she sucked all the air out of the room. And I'm on dry land just trying equilibrium back together, and it is us. I am in love. I managed to get a date with her weeks later, and a wonderful date. It's a wonderful time. At the end, I'm driving her back, and just before I drop her off at her, I'd love to see more of you. And she said, she filio me. Filio zone. I don't want to be friends. I love you. I want you and make you my wife. Eros love. You can't do that. You can't force it. You can't it. You can't someone. So the family love, the friend love, the fair romance. These are the kinds of love. No. But Jesus, new kind of love. New kind of love. A love the human race has never really before. And I want you, church, to embody. To show, to demonstrate, to work, to put flesh on the bones. And that is going to be agape. An agape love, new kind of love. And so when we go back to phrase from Jesus, he's saying, a new command I give you, it's choice based. Agape love, a new kind, brand new kind, not smart love. It's a love we can choose. Different from every other kind of love and every experience. First of all, the kind of love that we need to be with one another is choice-based love. It's a love choose to make. It's got nothing to do with if you deserve it or not, nothing to do with whether it comes naturally or not. It is something I choose. I love because I'm choosing to love you. A new command I give you, love one another. Everyone say, of choice, that comes from. This is a brand new style of love. A love that comes from Jesus. It's motivated by the fact that Jesus commands me. That's the source is Jesus. It's not resources. It's not of character. It comes from Jesus. do it because I am commanded to do it, because I regard Jesus, because I look up to Jesus, love. But where is it going? It's actually going to another. It's other-oriented love. Other-oriented love. And let me put it in a very simple way. It's not you. It's not you. This kind of love is not the other. It's all on the other. It's put your hands up if you've seen the film. Thank you. Thank you. Steve Bodley. Old. I'll you because you've been there for me. As hands if you've heard the, you complete it. So that if you think that that's always been around. You complete me. Actually, it was invented. It's the seriously. I need more than this. Look. You cannot trade me. It's like, oh, this is such a love. It gives me chills. You complete me. That is not a really great kind of love. In fact, Cameron Crowe, who wrote and directed that film and came up with that phrase, his marriage didn't end. Didn't last. It did end. Yeah, you complete me, and then they completed their marriage. It's a sad thing. But it sounds so romantic. You go to someone and you say, you complete me. You're my soulmate. You're the one that makes me most me. You really make me come alive. When I'm with you, I just feel like I can be myself. But Jesus says, that's not the kind of love that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a love that's not about you. It's not about completing you. It's not about you feeling great. It's got nothing to do with you. Because ultimately, that love won't last. It won't sustain. This is a love that is about it's about what can I do for you. It's about how do I serve you? How do I love you? How do I give to you? You're the object. You are the person that I'm putting my love towards. It's not a self-focused love. You know, sometimes people are in relationship with one another and it is kind of because of what I get out of it. And that tends to be the filio kind of love. Oh, I love this person. They really get me. I love this person. We had such fun times together. I love this person. We're like peas in a pod. Brother from another mother, sister from another mister. I love this person. But Jesus says, it's not about you. This is a whole brand new different way of feeling love. Now, it can't have escaped your notice that we put love one another in the Metro vision. We said we exist to help people find Jesus and love one another, then follow Jesus and serve their city. And when we say we want you to love one another, what we're saying is we want you, here he comes again. Ladies and gentlemen,
Matthew Forth!
Okay. Sorry, the cameras, never mind. Other-oriented love. And when we said that we wanted to be a community that helps people love one another, those are not just words to go on a website or something to put on the back of a t-shirt. Loving one another is something that we take so seriously that we've created hubs. Our midweek groups, and if you're not a part of church, or if you're not a part of Hub, you need to know that, the heart of the community is the Hub, because that's where the one anothering happens. That's where we one another one another. That's where we work out how to love one another. In fact, hubs are not only the perfect place to love one another, but they're the perfect place as a training ground to work out how to love other people. And it's not supposed to be about me. Do you know that so many churches, their focus is actually on having small groups and community groups where it's all about filio. Friends, I'll be there because you've been there for me too. We'll get on well. We're just exactly the same. And it's a natural instinct. It's completely understandable. We want to have groups and we naturally kind of gravitate to doing things the way that everybody in the world does groups, friendship groups. We look the same, we speak the same language, we're culturally, socially, intellectually the same. We like it when we've got a good group of people that are just like us. But Jesus says, I want you to one another with those who are not like you. I want you to be oriented on the other. And that means that I am in a group where I am looking for the interests of others. And over these next few weeks, we're going to look at what that means in practice and some of the nitty-gritty when the rubber hits the road. How do we have love that's oriented on the other person? Let me give you one quick example. Something that we often see, and I tell you what, I have never, and this is the truth, I'm not just trying to butter you up, ingratiate myself with you. I'm going to tell it like it is. You know that it's true. You have that quiet confidence that this is true. This is the most beautiful church I have ever seen, never alone been in. You guys are beautiful. You're gorgeous. You're absolutely stunning. And so we put all these, you too, Elliot. We put all these single people in groups together. And what tends to happen is people think, I'm in a group and there's some beautiful person. And maybe I can go and maybe they can be the one that will be, they can complete me. And we find that hubs get into trouble when people show up looking to try and find their soulmate, looking to try and find someone that they can hit on and go out with. And, you know, I think it's not helped by the fact that, yes, admittedly, some people have met their lifelong partners in Hub, but we generally discourage it. So Caleb and Chloe, they set a bad example. No. It's a wonderful thing when that happens, but it should not be the norm. We have this thing, apparently I was told that there's some kind of dating app called, was it Salt or Pepper or something like that? Salt, whatever. Go there. Don't show up to Hub looking with your beady eyes around the room, figuring out how you can get a little bit of alone time with someone else. Actually, we should be going to hubs so that we can love, serve, lay down for one another. We should have hubs that are places where people that are not like us, people that we wouldn't naturally be like or be connected with, come and find a place of family, togetherness, and wholeness, where we are demonstrating a brand new body image for those around us. So it's choice-based. It's other-oriented. And then finally, Jesus goes on to say, he says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And this is where it gets really, really powerful, because Jesus says, okay, it's a brand new kind of love. It's an unbeforeseen kind of love. And it is a love that is the love that I have loved you with. It's a Jesus love. John, he's a teenage boy, the youngest disciple, so young that sometimes he would put his head on the chest of Jesus and not be embarrassed by it. He would love to be the disciple that Jesus loved. Of course, Jesus loved all the disciples. But he had this experience. He saw it up close and personal. He saw it with his own eyes. And later, as an old man, he says this, 1 John 3:16, says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so back to that passage. This is a love that is self-sacrificing. You know, Jesus laid down his life. If our love for one another is not costly, you're doing it wrong. If our love for one another comes completely naturally, you're doing it wrong. If our love for one another enables us to go through without any kind of personal sacrifice or laying down of our lives or laying down of our agendas or laying down of our preferences, you're doing it wrong. Because Jesus says, this is the new kind of love that I'm commanding you. It's to love like I loved you. He's just washed their feet, taken on the very place of a servant. He's about to stretch his arms out on a cross and be nailed to a tree for our sins. And he says, this is the template. This is the model. This is the example. This is how I want you to love. I want you to forgive when someone does you wrong, because that's Jesus' kind of love. Do you know what the regular kind of love does? It ghosts you when you do something wrong. Or it cancels you when you let a person down. Here's the thing about people, and I know this because I've been a people and I've seen plenty of people. People will let you down. Everyone say amen. People put their best self forward. When you first meet them, they seem great, but underneath they're not as good as you first thought. Everyone say amen. I'm not as good as you think. I'm not even as good as I think. I'd love to be as good as I think. That would be amazing. I think a lot of myself. I'm nowhere near that. Neither are you. And when we come close to one another, then we see, ah, you've disappointed me. You've let me down. You're not the person that I thought you were. You're not the kind of individual that you presented yourself as. But a self-sacrificial, other-oriented, choice-based love says, I'm going to forgive you. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean everything's fine. And we'll look at that a bit more next week because it's such an important thing. But I've been in situations in church where people will leave or they'll have difficulty or challenge or trouble because someone has let them down or someone has upset them or someone has not been what they expected them to be. But this is what happens in life. We forgive one another. We confess our own sins, our own weaknesses to one another. We lay down our own desires, our own privileges. We say, hey, it's not about me. And all the rights that I have, I'm going to lay them down. Now, honestly, I think we do an amazing job of this. As Metro, as a family, I think we're so far along. I'm honestly so proud. I've never been more proud to be part of a church than this one, because I think you get it. But I want us to know that this is the deal and this is the gig and this is what we are asked to do by Jesus. And we have to continue to work at it to get better at it. And self-sacrificial love says, I'm tired, I've had enough, I've got tons on my plate, but I'm going to go. And I'm going to serve, and I'm going to be present, and I'm going to be active, and I'm going to encourage, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to spur one another on, and I'm going to encourage one another, and I'm going to lay down my life for one another. And we do that. And what's the end result? Jesus says this. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not if you can quote all the right Bible passages. Not if you wear the right clothes, have the right look, go to church on Sunday. It's if you love one another. How many of you, put your hands up, how many of you want to impact our city? How many of you want to see the kingdom of God coming in greater measure to our city, to our friends, to our workplaces? How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? We do that by loving one another. That is the convincing thing. That's the thing that cannot be argued with. People can say, I don't know if a man could rise from the dead. Or people will say, you know, I've heard about Christians and a bunch of hypocrites and child abusers. People can say, I'm not really into it. It's not really my thing. I have my own spirituality. They can say all kinds of things. But when people see people like us loving one another with the choice-based, other-oriented, self-sacrificing love that Jesus demonstrates, they have to take note. They have to step back and say, oh my Lord, there may just be something in this after all. And that is costly, but it's worth it. And I want, as we look in the next few weeks at a whole host of things that are going to be practical and challenging, I want us to press forward into this. And I want us to be looking with one another. How can we grow in this? And I think it's wonderful that we are in this building, that we're Metro on tour, that we're Metro on the move, that we're camping out. We're having a sleepover in another church right now. And who knows what's next? We'll go to a school. We'll go to whatever, the aquarium. Who knows? I think it's amazing because it reminds us to keep the main thing the main thing. And that is we're called to love one another. And can you imagine a group of people that love one another so much that it takes the breath away of everybody that sees it? Can you imagine a group of people who are just wholehearted, that they're loving people? They're like the friends in Friends, but without those friends, if that makes sense. Doesn't make sense, does it? I'm friends with you, you're not like me. I'm friends with you, we've got nothing in common. I'm friends with you, you let me down. I'm friends with you, you weren't there for me too. I'm friends, no matter what. Does that make sense? That's what we're after. And I want to ask you right now to make a commitment in your heart. Dear God, I want to grow in love. I want to grow in being a person that is able to draw others in. And let's see what God does with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you that we love because you first loved us. You show us what love is. You teach us what love is. You demonstrate for us what love is. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a loving community. Lord, that we would love not just in words and tongue, but with actions and in truth. I pray that we would love like Jesus loves us. I pray that we would love so much that it draws in the marginalized, the broken, those that are on the edge, those that are without hope. Lord, that we would obey your command, that we take it so seriously, that we work at it and we work at it and we train one another how to love. Lord, would you make us great lovers in the name of Jesus? Amen.